the tabletop takeaway.
Game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop takeaway.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I am Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And I'm Charlie McCarron.
And today we're continuing our little exploration into semi-cooperative games with Galápagos, or however you'd like to say that. So Galápagos is a semi-co-op game, or on the box specifically it says a cooperative game until the food is gone. So effectively, you are trying to build a raft to get off this island. Your plane crashed here, and you're working together-ish to get off the island safely with food and water. That's kind of it in a nutshell. Only thing is there's a hurricane inbound, and you may all die from the hurricane. So you need to get off this island pretty quick if you are to survive. Now, there's a few things going on here. You have you're collecting wood to kind of build the rafts. You're collecting food from fishing, water from just nearby. And there's a lot of different mechanisms that are just a little twist. They're a little bit different from each other. But overall, you're just trying to collect resources and work together and get off the island. And maybe you can all win. Or maybe five of you will win, and one of you will be left on the island alone to die.
Voted out by your friends.
That's what happened in our game.
Yeah.
We were very close, maybe we weren't very close. It felt like we were very close to getting the last person on there.
We were very close.
Were we? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just like one or two turns,
If he hadn't drawn the black marble, then...
Right. If he hadn't failed at building the raft.
Yeah.
You gotten bit by a snake in the woods.
Yeah.
Wow. We would have made it.
Yeah. I liked this game a lot more than I was expecting. I wasn't sure. Again, like I mentioned in the last episode, semi-co-op games are hard to make, I think, and get the incentives right for people.
And I think with this, we're again looking at like the functional design of the game being very simple, and then the content is what makes it fun and interesting.
Exactly.
Very, very similar to what we just did with Cosmic Encounter.
Trevor, you took my takeaway already.
Oh, no, darn it. I'm sorry.
Wow, Trevor.
That's actually not to jump the gun completely, but that was my takeaway because I think when I've been trying to do semi-cooperative games, I've been thinking about how do you do that within the structure of the game versus the content of the game, which I talked about in the last episode, too, where I feel like, I had to put in the rules how you kind of turn into a traitor, and then you'll have a second goal. But this game, it's kind of just like everyone's trying to do this thing, really. But it's the cards you get in your hand, like a gun, for example, that might make you think, wait, maybe there is a better route. I don't know. I thought that
was interesting. And then we could say food and water every round by not having to feed them. Oh, that sounds pretty appealing.
Actually, yeah, the cards that you draw make a huge difference in what you choose. And it's kind of nice because it's not like they say, oh, you have to be the traitor. But like on my part, I kept drawing cards that were not helpful to the group, but that were very helpful to me personally. I drew four emergency sandwich rations.
Oh, sure.
So, like, if we had been about to die of hunger, I could have just eaten one of those.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't enough to be worth sharing.
Right.
But they were certainly enough for me.
And to potentially give you leverage, too. Like, hey, don't kill me. I have this... whatever. Yeah.
And then I had like a whetstone that made the axe lethal. So if I got the axe, I could kill someone.
And, I had armor that would bounce the bullet off of you
to kill Charlie instead. I was all set to go if people decide to turn against me. But
it's actually a miracle you didn't get voted off because you really didn't provide that much.
Well, the very last turn, I was like, oh, here, you need some food here. Have a sandwich.
And right. I think it was a sandwich.
You snuck it in.
When you had three left over.
Meanwhile, we're just punishing the guy who was trying his best and got bit by a snake.
Yeah. It was my public relations sandwich.
Yeah.
It made everyone turn their attention away from how useless I was.
Yeah.
But
when I was... Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the people who were the most useful were the ones who drew the... the tools that let them gather more resources.
Yeah.
Yep. So three of us had actually gotten tools on our first turn and were able to get them to play right away. And if you are killed, those tools are discarded and removed from the game. You cannot trade them unless you have an item that steals it.
Yeah.
And so we were, like, extremely valuable. I had water collection. And water collection was variable. So it would go from 0 to 3. And in those times of it being 3, I could collect double the water. So I'd get 6 on my turn, which was enough for everyone playing for one whole round. Yeah. It became very valuable instantly.
And I was the axe guy who could chop down trees better. Yep.
Build the raft better.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you kept getting bitten by the snake as well, I think. Or at least a couple times.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't mind that much that it was like skip a turn.
Right.
Because I did it to myself, but...
But then we lost that action collectively as a group as well. And your original, like, action. You only got one wood, I think, then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because, like, just to go over those mechanics just a little bit so folks know what's going on. When you're going to collect wood, you go into the forest of the island, and you can kind of push your luck a little bit by pulling the fishing balls out of the bag. And if you pull the one brown ball out of 6, I believe... then you are bitten by a snake. And so you have a 1 in 6 chance if you're just pulling one, and then it gets scarier and scarier as you pull more out.
Yeah, you set your number beforehand, 1 to 5, how much you want to push it. 5 would be, like, extremely lucky you don't hit the 1.
Yeah.
But, yeah, every time it did not work out very well for me.
Kept getting hit by it. Actually, those the fishing balls are, I think, my takeaway.
Oh,
because so in this game, there's a bag with these wooden balls in it, right?
Yep, 6 of them.
They're used for both fishing and wood collecting. For fishing, they have fish printed on them, so you draw them out to see how many fish you get. For wood collecting, as you're
based on color,
right? Yeah, if you get the dark one, you get bitten by a snake. Otherwise, you're fine. But initially I saw these, I was like, why are these spherical?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then I realized that there's, except for the moment when you draw them, they're always supposed to be in the bag. The fact that they're spherical and don't sit still on the table, you know, they'll roll around if you put them down, really communicates to players that they need to stay in the bag. And so I think my big takeaway on that is that what components can't do can be just as important as what they can, because what they can't do because of their shape, will prevent players from misusing them.
Yeah.
Having spherical components in a bag tells players, you have to put these back in the bag. You do not...
you don't keep it.
Yeah, you don't keep it. It goes right back in the bag. Mm-hmm. You don't really need to explain that. I mean, I'm sure in the rule book it says, but...
Yeah,
it's just,
probably.
But the instinct, because they're fighting against the instinct that, oh, we drew it from the
bag.
This
is mine.
Yeah. It's out of the bag
for
the next round until you get all of them.
Yeah. So, which is a great way. So that's now in the future, if I want a game where there's you draw from a bag and then immediately replace them, I will probably use some sort of marble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that works really well.
Well, and I will say they also did a good job of, like, making this high-quality component, and the bag even feels really nice, like a burlap bag. It all feels very just nice. And the only other major component, obviously there's a board, a small board, cards. But then you also have the airplane or ship that's wrecked that is your draw deck or your discard that you're pulling out of. And, like, it just creates this little world that you're in now. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really nice, cohesive thing. I really like that.
Table presents. Yesterday I made a prototype that has a literal table in it. And I was like, well, it should be raised up because of table presents.
Yeah.
So
then you should put a present on the table. Okay, I'll That was a great joke. Thank you for laughing.
Yep.
But yeah, so this game is really interesting, and there's a lot of push and pull, especially with the resources, the food and the water. Are really pushing you to try to, you know, most effectively gather these resources. And when you don't, when you like, it's my turn, I'm going to go fishing, I pull one marble out, or one sphere out, and it's just one fish. It's like, well, that was awful. That was terrible. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So, your resources are constantly dwindling, and you're just hoping that you'll actually be able to catch back up again.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I was skeptical about the game was, you know, reading the reviews, and they're like, well, you're doing all these minor actions that aren't that interesting. Mm-hmm. And, but I think it really also kind of depends on the game group if you're in on it.
Oh, sure.
And I liked the slightly different, like the fish was, you know, random, but always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
The wood gathering was random, but could be very bad for you. And then the water was just like variable based on the weather card, but you knew what you were going getting into it. So it's like right. a nice gradation of risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and just having the resources work differently.
Yeah.
It's like gathering food is not exactly the same as gathering water, so they feel like different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just how even your tools interact with those different things. It's like it all kind of doubles what you can do,
mm-hmm.
but that double can sometimes be a lot more than doubling or a lot less. Like with fishing, you get to pull out two marbles, but it might just be a one and a two, and then you get three. That's great, but someone else can do a three, too.
Yeah.
I will say one thing the game does very well is there's this this constant current of tension running underneath everything in that at some point, probably someone's going to get voted off the island.
Something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen. And so there's this, you feel this constant need to prove, okay, this is why you should keep me around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was feeling like. I was frantically digging through the deck for a tool so that people would keep me around, and I couldn't find one. And it was like, what's my value here?
Right.
They're going to vote me off. What am I going to do?
I thought you were going to actually pull a gun before anything else.
Yeah.
And that would have been very scary.
Well, yeah. And it's kind of like, it's a good balance because if you're in that position where you're not, you don't have something helpful for the group, it maybe means you have the gun and some bullets, so you could make a threat. We didn't even get...
No, I'm very helpful. Like, look at my gun. See how helpful I am?
This is why this game would be really fun to play with the same group a few times.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'm going to bust it out with that game group too.
Oh, yeah.
And the meta of it, now we understand, like, I had a gun, but I didn't play it because I never found bullets.
I didn't have bullets, yeah.
But I definitely could have played that gun down and threatened and
just,
anyone.
Oh, yeah, just to play it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have a gun.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
If you vote me off, I have no other choice.
I have a gun. Oh, and that is actually a really important thing.
Oh.
Items can be used at any time.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when it's not your turn.
Yeah.
And so, like, hey, it's my turn, but we're thinking about voting you off or, you know, something. I was like, oh, well, I have a gun. Unfortunately, so...
And I think the rule says if two players have a gun, whoever says they're going to shoot you first...
they Han Solo it.
If there's
it.
A tie, yeah, I think so. So, yeah, I just enjoyed that. And I think I'm going to try to make, in a semi-co-op game, more of the content be fun and funny... So that's the reason you're betraying versus, like, I have to think really hard about, like, strategizing about how should I betray.
No, this is just goofy situation. Let's resolve it and see what happens.
Something very thematic that's like, oh, oops. Well, oops. I got this in my hand, so.
I had sleeping pills I never used because that would mean I'd steal three cards from people. And we were very cooperative with our game.
Mm-hmm.
We actually worked really well together because we didn't get a lot of that reason to fight amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if even one person put out a gun, I think that would have changed the dynamic entirely. I think I would have used that and tried to steal a bullet if you had one.
Yeah.
But, like, that would have changed, like, my mind, right? Or I would have I had a harpoon, too, where I could steal a tool.
Yeah.
So maybe I would have stolen your gun.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah, and we didn't even get into the expansion, which has variable player powers and...
Events.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it could really mix it up a lot. So for my takeaway, I think for semi-co-op is having threats are really important in a cooperative game, right? You need to have some reason to be cooperating. In this, the threat is death, right? You know, your character's going to die if you don't get water, you don't get food, you don't survive the hurricane. I really, really liked how this handled those resources being like a background threat. It was always there. It's like, oh, we have 12 or 14 right now. We're totally fine. We can last a couple of rounds and not even do anything. And then suddenly we're down to like two or three.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, well, we need this right now. Oh, we don't have any water coming in because it's dry for some reason right now. Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's great. And so now we have these extra pressures pushing us. And I think that's a really great way to have a semi-co-op is because then you have this other motivation to change your strategy And maybe it's like, oh, we need one fewer person in this party. So we need to figure out if we want to survive, it's not going to work out.
Yep.
I mean, they may vote me out, so maybe I just need to do something about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really interesting.
It is. I'm glad we found a shortish one to play of semi-co-ops, because I was thinking in my head about, like, the ones I've played are
Dark
all pretty
Moon.
Long.
Yeah.
And Dead of Winter is another classic one. But, yeah, I'm glad it worked out.
So, and 20 minutes long on the box, so only about 40 minutes for your first play, which I think was about right for us, give or take.
Yeah. So we better cut it off there so that we can... My friend Eric is here, and you said your takeaway, right, Ananda?
I did.
Okay, good. I missed it. Sorry.
Yeah. And Eric is going to teach us our next game, Nemesis, which is not a short game. So, it'll be a good contrast game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. With that, see you next episode.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.